Welcome to the Tax Sell Podcast, where tax sell investing is made easy. My name is Casey Denman. I'm a tax sell veteran. I am the tax sell expert, author of the Tax Sell Playbook, founder of the Tax Sell Academy, and I'm also your host right here on the Tax Sell Podcast. Hey, thank you so much for choosing to learn from me and this podcast when it comes to tax liens and tax deeds. As a reminder, this is a completely free podcast and is brought to you through and because of the Tax Sell Academy, which you can learn more about by visiting TaxSellAcademy.com. All right, today we'll be discussing the art behind selling tax-defaulted vacant land. I get comments all the time about vacant land and people wanting to know my opinion, how to make it work, how to sell it, questions about the desirability of it. The list goes on and on. If you've read this book behind me, Tax Sell Playbook, you likely then know my history and how I got started investing mainly through vacant land. Over the years, vacant land has made up a sizable chunk of my income. Now listen, I'm not against homes, commercial properties, or anything else. In fact, I invest in all types of real estate. I've been involved with hundreds of homes. I've flipped commercial buildings, warehouses, you name it. I've probably done it at some point in my 21 plus year career. So this is not a do this and don't do that type episode. I don't care what you invest in. There's people out there making money in all types of stuff. But this episode is specific for those investors thinking about the potential behind vacant land. There are plenty of perks to investing in vacant land. In many areas, the auction might be 90, 95% of vacant land, so it's plentiful. Lower competition, lower barrier to entry, lower maintenance, lower holding costs, less stress, no showings, inspections. It goes on and on. Again, I'm not knocking homes because I've invested in quite a few, but I'm just highlighting some of the benefits of vacant land for those of you that are on the fence about it. So once they understand the perks behind investing in vacant land, the question always pops up, who buys it? Who will buy the vacant land that I have to sell? That's what we're talking about today. Now, for specific tactics and strategies on how to sell that land, there's lots of videos I have on that, but today we're talking about the different types of buyers for vacant land and how the process is going to work with each one. Obviously, with a house, we have owner users, we have landlords, and other types of ways that we can physically use the structure that is there. Worst case scenario, we put a tenant in there and we rent it out, right? Even if you had originally planned on flipping that property. Now, outside of a few rare situations, such as a ground lease, for example, those same uses simply don't exist for vacant land. So it takes us back to that question, who buys it? Well, there's two types of people that buy vacant land, the same that buy just about everything. We have end users and we have investors. And the buyer that you get often depends on this specific property and how it is marketed. So let's dive into each one and how it applies to vacant land. The first type of buyer is going to be your end user. Now, this is going to require the most input for you, the most effort, but it'll also likely produce the highest value return. End users are the ones who are buying the property with the intention to build on it or otherwise utilize it. Now, they might be buying that property to build their dream house, to put their dream farm, or they could be buying it simply to throw a tent up or to park their RV on it, or there's a number of other different uses, but they're buying it for personal use. It is not considered an investment for them. And if it is considered an investment for them, that is far behind their desire to actually use that property. These types of buyers will usually require your typical marketing methods. They'll also usually require typical closing methods. So what I mean by this is that the title, it needs to be cleared. No clouds on that title. So it has to go through some sort of curated method, which might be a suit of quiet title, a tax foreclosure certification, or something like that, which will allow you to sell the property with title insurance through a title agency or a real estate attorney. And as a result, you're going to get a full market value for that property. So the good news is when you sell it to an end user is that you don't have to discount the property at all. It's just like them buying from anybody else. And the fact that you're an investor does not matter. Now, once you go through the process of clearing that title, as far as marketing the property, you can sell it as a for sale by owner or FSBO, or you can also list it with a realtor. Now, typically an end user will be buying one property from you. That's it. Unlike the investor who has the potential to buy many more properties. That means that you have to find that one buyer. So you need to be able to market the property So you can attract as many end users as possible, or you can list it with a realtor who can do that for you, of course. Now, there are pros and cons to selling at FSBO and selling with a realtor, which I discuss on this podcast, on the YouTube channel, and of course, inside the Tax Sell Academy, but either method will be utilized using this more conventional marketing tactics that we have discussed in the past, such as listing the property in the MLS, getting the property on realtor.com, getting the property on Zillow, and all the other various websites that people tend to browse. The overwhelming majority of buyers, especially end users, are going to start their search online. So that's going to be the approach that you need to take. From there, once you have that buyer, you're at a simple contract. And oftentimes these are contracts that attorneys in that state have to come up with or the realtor association in that state utilizes. You'll complete that contract, then you send it over to the title company or the attorney. They handle the title search, they prepare the deed, they handle escrow, all that good stuff. You simply show up, eat a few of their cookies, sign the paperwork, and you check your bank account for that wire. It's a very, very simple process. This is the typical, the conventional real estate process that we utilize. Now, I generally suggest then going after end users for properties where you have more time and more profit. You need more time because it takes time to clear that title. It takes time to go through the closing process, all that good stuff. And it takes more margin because you have to clear the title. You have to pay the attorneys. You have to pay the realtor their commission. So it takes a little bit more time, a little bit more money, but in the end, you can get full market value. Now, you need to also understand that when you sell to end users, it's sometimes a little rockier of a road, especially if you sell for sale by owner, simply because those buyers are not going to be familiar with the process, with the contracts, with the terms that are used. So be prepared to educate your buyers throughout the entire process. And also, a lot of end users are emotionally connected to this property or that property. So they're sometimes a little bit more fickle and might end up backing out of the contract more so than a lot of investors, depending on the specifics of the deal. Now, the other type of buyer, of course, is the investor. And I use this term in a way that encompasses many, many types of people. It could be somebody looking to buy and turn right around and sell that property the next week. Or they might hold that property for 50 years. It could be a builder, it could be a developer, it could just be a speculator. There are plenty of different ways that people invest in vacant land. So from here, what I actually want to do is I want to split the investor category into two different types of investors. The first one is going to be the typical investor. When you think real estate investor, this is usually what most people think about. Much of this process will be similar to that of selling to an end user. This is the investor that wants a property at a discount, and they want the process to be as similar to that as a standard market transaction as possible. What I mean by this is they want a discount off market value, but they want everything else to be nearly the same. Now, they expect some issues like cleanup, mowing the property, pretty typical stuff. But again, the process with the transaction itself should be pretty much the same as if you're selling it to an end user. So as such, you need to clear the title, provide title insurance, sell through a title company or attorney for them to be comfortable with their purchase, since that is what they are used to. But they will often be able to pay cash, or financing won't be an issue. They'll have it lined up in advance. They're going to make their deposits timely. They'll understand the contracts, so a whole bunch of questions, and the overall process will be much, much smoother than dealing with an end user in many situations. For you, the benefit here with selling to an investor by using a typical conventional type real estate process is that it'll allow you to close on the property very, very quickly, much faster than you would when you deal with an end user in most situations. You simply buy it, you write a contract, and you close the moment that the title is clear. No worrying about marketing or anything like that. Now, finding these types of investors is relatively easy if a true discount is provided. Here's the reason I say that. Most people who have a few extra bucks and any real estate experience would be happy to buy something at 20 to 30% off, turn right around, and they sell it. And even after expenses, they're still making 10, 20% on their money, and they'll be happy with that. Again, the benefit for you is speed. Zero hassle reselling it. You move on to the next property very quickly. You can find these types of investors, who are most investors out there, through realtors, real estate investors, meetings, financial advisors, and many other places. You know, typically it's just somebody that might have a rental house or two rental houses. Go make friends with as many of these folks as possible and put them onto your buyer's list. Ideally, of course, the properties that you're selling to these investors is where you have enough margin to get in, sell it at a discount, get out, move on to something else, and keep snowballing your capital over and over. Now, the second type of investor is more of the non-conventional type investor. These are the investors that expect discounts in order to compensate them for handling some sort of problem. There's a wide range of problems that these types of investors are willing to accept for a price. The most common one in the tax sell space is a property that does not come with title insurance. Now, as we know, title cloud issue has been a recurring theme over the course of us talking about selling these properties to end users and investors, right? You have to clear the title if you want title insurance, but it takes money. It takes time to get rid of those title clouds. So what if we skip that step entirely? Well, end users and most of your run-of-the-mill investors, they don't want that property because it does not fit inside their typical little investment box that they are used to. So now we're selling to a non-conventional investor, and we're going to need to sell that property at a price that compensates them for the lack of that title insurance. Now, oftentimes, we can close these types of transactions through an attorney with title insurance and with a quick claim deed, or you can even do it yourself if you're comfortable with that type of stuff. And what happens is we end up making a few bucks on the property, and we're on our way to the next deal, sometimes within a matter of just days of actually buying that property. So the turnaround is very, very quick since we are not worried about the title issues. The buyer then takes care of the issues on their own time. They can resell it and they can still make a profit on their own. So there has to be substantial margin in order to be able to sell it to one of these non-conventional type investors. So in my book, I consider that a win-win, right? I make money, can move on, and they make money as well. Most people would be very, very surprised by the number of non-conventional investors that exist for vacant land, mostly because they look in the wrong places. You're not going to find these folks on Zillow or even through most realtors. And truthfully, many real estate investors association type meetings won't produce too many of these who are willing to take a different path than what they have been taught and what they're used to. You're usually going to find these types of investors online. It's going to take you joining investor groups and forums and putting forth a variety of different styles when it comes to online marketing and building your own non-standard buyer database. And also, typically, these folks are going to be interested in the lower dollar properties because, of course, once you get above $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, you should have the margin in your deal to clean up that title and then sell it either to an end user or a more conventional investor. So you have it. There are the two primary types of buyers for vacant land. You have end users and you have the two types of investors. Now, that is just my spin on it. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of different types of investors that are out there and how we classify them and everything else. That's just what I kind of came up with based on my experience dealing with a number of investors over the years. There is no one-size-fits-all solution on who to sell everything to and how to sell it to them. Instead, find out what works best for you while knowing that on occasion, you're going to need to deploy other marketing approaches. Listen, all types of buyers exist for vacant land. It just oftentimes requires a different approach than you might be used to with homes in order to find those buyers. But I can promise you, they are out there. That's all I've got for today. Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast episode, please do me a huge favor. We don't charge a listing or membership fee or anything like that for these podcast episodes, but your reviews mean a big deal to us in the podcasting world. So if you'd be so kind just to take a second out of your day to tap a 5-star review or leave a positive feedback comment. And by doing so, you might even serve to pay it forward to a new investor who learns about this incredible business simply because you took just a few seconds out of your day to do so. And as always, if we can be of any additional help, make sure you check out all the links in today's show notes, including the one to our step-by-step training academy at taxsellacademy.com. Hey, take care, folks, and make it a successful day. We'll see you next time right here on the Tax Sell Podcast. Bye-bye.